If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Infinite One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening we have a very serenely beautiful topic, the Tao of Being. Tao in the Chinese language means the way. It's the teaching that Jesus brought that all great masters and adepts teach. Because truly there is only one way, and that is the way of spirit. It's not a path, because there's no beginning and no ending. There's not even a going. There is simply the recognition of infinite being. And in that recognition, all things are perceived and known and accomplished. Tonight we will be using the lens of the spiritual travelers Jalaluddin Rumi, Lao Tzu, and my own spiritual teacher, the traveler John Roger. So let's take a deep breath, and we'll go into a meditation as we come fully present here and now in this moment. Just allow yourself the luxury of returning to the very center where your breath comes and where your breath goes. And just allow yourself to sink into that beautiful quiet that's always present behind the backdrop of busyness and the world's doings. You know, being is simply expanding. It's expansion. You allow that which you are to embrace and encompass and enfold evermore and infinitely until you find yourself embraced within that universal state that we call the divine. But it's not necessary to call it anything. In fact, in the naming, often we lose the essence. So it's going beyond the names and the definitions and the concepts and the forms and allowing ourselves to be supremely still. And we watch and we are in that state of clearly observing without the need to do anything at all. So as we experience the energies aligning tonight, you might find your body rocking back and forth as mine seems to do whenever I'm attuned. And again, that intense purple light has come present, the inner vision. That's the presence of the consciousness that we call the spiritual traveler. Allow yourself to just expand from the light in the center of your core. You'll find yourself just expanding like the rays of the sun. Don't think that you have to stop the edges of your skin. Allow the rays of your luminosity to go beyond. Keep expanding, expanding. Just allow yourself to be free, unfettered, unconfined. Ah, you notice that the room is receding. You might be looking down at your body sitting or reclining, wherever you are listening to this show. And you begin to expand beyond, way beyond, like one of those photographic capturings of the surface of the earth, where you go far, far above the earth, and everything recedes and becomes very small as you look at it from a distance. And you see the city and the town where you are positioned, seemingly in time and space within the dream, receding rapidly as you find yourself expanding beyond the earth becoming smaller and smaller. You find yourself way out in the vastness of the beautiful, brilliant cosmos, going past star systems and planets and suns. Look, even our sun is so tiny, it looks like a little orange glowing ball. Smaller and smaller, till it's infinitesimal, like a little speck. Keep expanding and expanding. And you see our Milky Way universe, our Milky Way galaxy looking like a little donut, a little white donut, getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Keep expanding, expanding. Beyond, 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 beyond. Feel the bliss of absolute beingness, unfettered. No time, only here and now. That's the only time and space that's real, is here and now. Allow yourself to become part of everything that you see. Look down into your body, or what you thought of as a body, and you see universes within universes. No form per se, just beingness, infinite, galactic, cosmic, all-pervasive. And feel the stillness and the silence that roars with the primordial sound. It's that inner song of the silence that all great mystics speak of. Jalaluddin Rumi has a beautiful word about that. That we came into this seeming existence through one word, and finding ourselves in a place of many words, we have gotten caught up in the many of the descriptions. And now we are remembering the one word, and that word that carries us beyond the many, back into the one. And you, beloveds, who are the very living word, the only thing that ushered forth from the divine, supreme, was the word. And you issued forth as that word, living and extended, to sing the divine song throughout the cosmos. Divine singers of the song of one, divine lights, illumining creations yet to be dreamt, dancing in the dreams yet to be awakened. You are the singers of God, the flutes of God. You are the Krishna. You are the Christ. You are the one appearing as the many. So within that expanded sense of self, we look tonight at this wonderful state that is actually our eternal state of being. It's not something you ever have to relinquish. This is who you truly are. Who you are as a spirit has no concern about time or space. And no matter what seems to be out picturing in the phenomenal gerbil cage, the spirit is always in a sense of joyous laughter. There's a joy of spirit that rings with an exuberant celebration that never ends. And all of the concerns that seem so pressing in the world dream of time and space, becomingness and doingness, doesn't mean a thing to the soul. You know, whenever it's presented with an obstacle, it rejoices because that's a sense of, the strength that will arise from my tackling this particular situation and mastering it, moving through it. The exuberant joy that an athlete perhaps has when they push past their former mark of excellence and go even one greater, or they break that record. The soul has a similar sense when it overcomes seeming obstacles. There's a certain bliss that comes from the mastery that is the spirit that you are. And the things that appear to be so threatening to the consciousness in the lower worlds are seen as opportunities. The sense of excitement and a new experience and adventure replaces the worry and the concern about maintaining things the way they were. You know, we're talking so much these days about the economy, but the soul doesn't pay any attention to that. It thinks in terms of the abundance that is always present in the eternal now. It doesn't invest itself in the temporal appearance. Because of that, the one who walks in the Tao, in the being of the Tao, has no concern and no worry and no fear. Whatever happens, it seizes it as an opportunity to unfold in greater expanded awareness, greater encompassment, greater love, greater strength, greater empowerment. Doesn't even notice the details. And that is who you are. So if you are centered in the self, the soul, the spirit, the Atma, you won't have any concern at all about what's happening in the economy. You will take care of whatever needs to be taken care of in the proper flow of the timing. But if you lose your car, you'll think, well, I can walk, I can ride public transit, I can, you begin to think in terms of what I can do. If you lose your home, you can think in terms of perhaps creating a living situation with others, creating community. It gives a freedom, a certain freedom of enabling a new choice, a new momentum, a new life experience. I've been in all of these stages. And you know what? You never miss what you lose. You know, you just don't. I remember one time when my beautiful brand new Lincoln Continental was repossessed, and I thought, surely God wouldn't take my car. But what's so funny is that I never drove that car because I was afraid of denting it or, you know, people getting into it with dirty shoes. I always drove my old mother-in-law's old clunker. We had four cars, but it was the old clunker that I liked to drive because I didn't have to worry about dinging it or people's feet when they got into it. So sometimes our possessions encumber us in a way that we're not in the Tao of being. We're in the maintenance and the safeguarding and defending and protecting of possessions. And it takes us out of the present moment. It doesn't need to, but it seems to. When you have a heavy mortgage that you both have to work at jobs to pay, maybe it's the grace of God to lose that house. That might seem awful to the personality, the ego self. But what if it was just such a burden to maintain that? And what if you could have an easier lifestyle and a new opportunity to create something much better? You know, I think that the times that we're moving into are really a great initiation. And we're moving through that last bit of the tunnel where you see all your booger bears come up in your face, all the scary things, the things that you most fear. And if we can stay in the Tao of being, if we can stay centered and remember who we truly are, we can allow ourselves to glide like a little duck through the water, letting the water just, you know, slip right off those little oiled wings. And we won't get wet, we won't get soggy, we won't get all muddied in what's seemingly outpicturing in the outer world. You're seeing the conjoining of many, many scenarios that reflect the collective consciousness. We who are conscious light in this world are called to be very different in how we handle and exemplify our attitudes regarding what's happening today. You know, prices have been down very, very low, and yet people are still talking about the high price of gas. Well, as they keep reinforcing that thought form, sure enough, gradually, penny by penny, the gas is starting to get more expensive. I mean, you can create this scenario if that's what you want. And you'll talk about it. You'll say to other people, oh, how terrible. It costs so much and this and that and the other thing. What if you just didn't put any energy of reinforcement into that scenario of lack at all? What if you just didn't come into agreement with lack? What if you exercised the Tao of being and lived in that life more abundant that Jesus came to exemplify and embody and pass on to us as a mantle? He did all the hard work. He walked through the major illusions of life, fully illumined, fully awake, so that all we had to do was just follow that energetic matrix that he had formed, that he himself called the way. It's so easy. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to do it the way of the world. Rumi has this to say, being is not what it seems, or non-being. The world's existence is not in the world. In other words, like the theme we've spoken on the last few shows, the world you see is the world you dream from your own inner self. If it's a dream of separation and self-indictment and self-punishment, it will be difficult. It will be the worst-case scenario. If it's the extension of the light of awareness that is your true beingness, your true self, it will be a life that flows in gracious harmony. But you decide. You are the one that makes it so. And you have the authority to call the shots. So, our consciousness, our mind, has become so conditioned by the world of unconsciousness, of sleep and of dreaming, that we have to begin to retrain ourselves in how we look at the world, how we verbalize our reality. For example, this conditioning has convinced us that we must be forever setting goals to achieve, things to attain, success to exemplify, the amassing of more and more stuff and money and prestige and whatever. And yet, we don't actually see people like that exemplifying very much stability and true centeredness or any kind of beingness. It's usually a great burden and stress. So how differently the life of a realized awakened person appears. The fear of the need or requirement, the demand or imperative to do or achieve anything just evaporates. There's such a sense of wholeness and centeredness, and you know, the whole make no demands. It's the people who are not whole yet that feel that they have to demand of life to produce something for them. And so these people who seemingly do nothing and seemingly relinquish everything are the very ones whose names often go down as history's wisest sages. We often don't remember the people who did many things in history, but we all remember the life of Jesus Christ. We all remember the life of Buddha. And they were anything but people who exemplified doing and having. They walked the way, the Shariat Kisugmad, the way of the eternal, the Tao of being. So, again, those of you who are listening to these weekly discourses are ripened fruits. Here the souls, many of which are desiring to walk as a free soul, to make this your last dream episode in this world of duality. You want to go on in the expanded aware state that isn't snagged into becomingness and the repercussion of the sense of doing which comes under the term of karma. You want to step free of that wheel. And therefore, we look at things from a different angle, because ours is not going to be the way of the world. So in centering your awareness within the Divine Presence, you find yourself sitting in the power hub of universes. Now, that's real power. And yet you have no desire for power. You have no desire for anything. You're simply in the center, and you're aware you're in the center. And going nowhere, you find that you are everywhere. This is the sense of omnipresence that comes with enlightenment. And doing nothing, you illumine the universe, and yet you have no ambition to do any of that. It simply happens as a result of where you're centered. So, how does one live from the Tao of being without doing? You become very sensitive to the flow. And as that flow of spirit moves through you, you allow it to accomplish whatever is appropriate without trying to tell it how to do anything. You just allow. And whatever needs to be done, it gets done, but there's no sense of checking to see how you did it or concern with how it was accomplished or anything. You don't have any thought about it. Do you know that you only remember things that are incomplete? Some of you wonder why you don't have much memory now. That's a good thing, because you are completing. And when something is completely consumed in the moment of its expression, when you've done it fully with total presence, it leaves no residual, which means no memory. It's complete, and it doesn't come to mind again. Because every time you go into the past, you're out of beingness. Every time you go into the future, you're out of being. You've lost the Tao of being in the Ashanti, or peacelessness, of doingness. And again, I like the statement of Sai Baba, being is lost in becoming. Life is lost in dreaming. So we want to return our awareness to our beingness in the one life. We want to experience that. Again, finding that quiet place that you don't react from, but you watch life. You observe life from an inner distance, like you'd watch a sunset or the waves rolling in on a beach. You're just present, quietly watching. You're not attempting to possess or alter or control. You're just present and being. In being, we learn to live life from the beginning and the end at the same time. That is what Jesus meant when he stated, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Jesus was speaking from the Tao of being. He also said, "I am the way, the Tao, the truth, being, the life, infinite expansion." Lao Tzu said, "All men come to him who keeps to the one, for there lie rest and happiness and peace." And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When Jesus ever referred to himself, he was speaking about the being, the Tao of being. He wasn't talking about his body, or the name that his body went by, or his personality, or anything that suggested a separate self. He was speaking from the Spirit. And the Spirit that operated through Jesus is the same Spirit that operates through us. And Jesus came to restore that direct awareness of Spirit to us. So the true master realizes the opportunity of oneness with God in everything that takes place. Every human being becomes an opportunity to see the face of Christ. Every event presents as a way to experience the presence. Every moment you become aware that you're not the one that's living. It is the Spirit within you that is living through your words, through your mind, through every part of your being. We can forget everything else, but if we would live in the Tao of being, the one thing we must always bring to our mind is that we are eternal, divine, immortal, Spirit. We are one. We are not many. We are one. Clothed in the disguise of manyness, and yet one. So, in accomplishing no thing, all is accomplished. We are here really to accomplish one thing, to remember that we are not really here at all. And to remember so clearly that truth, that we never again have the dream of living on earth in a human body, ever again. That awareness needs to be cultivated, practiced, and made so solidly who and what we are, so much our reality, day by day and moment by moment, that we no longer need any kind of props. You become so adept at that, that you don't need the spiritual props anymore. Many of us, I think, are getting to that stage where we don't want to have a great deal of outer involvement. I know I've been in that stage for about 2 years now, where I'm doing less and less in the outer world. And I don't have any desire to do anything in the outer world. I don't want to do workshops. I don't want to do sessions for people. I don't want to go out and be involved in anything because my inner life right now is so rich that I don't want to be pulled away from that to go and have to adapt and harmonize with a lesser momentum that would pull me from that fullness, because I'm still in that process of making this more solidly my reality. So, as Rumi put it when he was still a seeker, what I want most is to spring out of this personality, then to sit apart from that leaping. I've lived too long where I can be reached. I so relate to that. So where are you reached? We're reached, quote, quote, wherever we can be hurt, offended, put off, angered, drawn into judging or criticizing or demeaning or slandering or gossiping. Those are all the things that reach and pull the ego string, so the little puppet ego begins to dance its little reactive dance. So what pulls your ego strings and causes it to do its little silly dance? What pushes your reactive buttons? That's what can be reached. So Rumi wanted to spring out of his personality ego, his separated self, and to sit apart from that leaping. He wanted to watch that leap from afar, because he recognized that he had lived too long where he could be reached. And those of us that are intent upon awakening now in this cycle of illumination, we've spent enough time being reached. You know, it's enough already. Some of us are closing down our website. Some of us are getting rid of our cell phones. Some of us don't have cell phones. Some of us are choosing not to answer the phone every time it rings. Some of us are being quite content not to have a job right now, those of you that are content. Some of you are finding really creative ways to feed and shelter yourselves that are out and off of the system. Some of you are making bodacious and outrageous leaps in new directions to do totally different lifestyle choices. This is very good. This is part of that leaping that Rumi was speaking about. So you and your own divine essence set up your situations and conditions. You yourself do it. You set yourself up to practice your masterful awareness. You set yourself up with things to be forgiven or completed or declared done. And these things will resurface again and again until they're dealt with. And when they're dealt with, they will no longer come to mind. Again, you only have memory when you retain and remain with areas of incompletion. So memory ejects you out of the Tao of being. Now, there's no value in memory except for one thing. The Course in Miracles says the only correct use of memory is to use it to choose to remember that you remain as God created you in perfect innocence and peace. That's the only purpose for memory, is to return your remembrance to your divinity. That's it. So, when you learn the Tao, the way of being, you come into a neutrality about all of the outer details of life. You just don't focus on it. You don't obsess on the details. You stay present with the focus of principle, and that focuses upon your inner state, not your outer state. You stay present and enjoy what is there to be experienced, but with an attitude of complete indifference, complete detachment to results, You don't need anything, want anything. You're not trying to make anything happen. You're not trying to generate mood or attention or razzle-dazzle or bling, nothing. You're just present, breathing in, breathing out, enjoying what's there. So you relinquish the ego's mania to control outcome. You relinquish it. You sacrifice it. You let go of it so that you can have the freedom of the present flow. You know, the ego is just such a control freak. I think that's one of its most predominant characteristics, is it can't leave things alone. It's got to butt its little brown nose into everything and get involved in it and tell everybody what to do, what they should do, what they could do and what they didn't do, and remind them of the past and throw up comparisons and judgments and critiquing opinions. You know, the realized person, the person who wants to stay in the Tao of being, begins to end cycle on having opinions. You know, you really don't have to have an answer for everybody. You don't have to have an opinion about things that are happening with people. It's none of your business what's happening with people. Your only business is what's happening with you, inside of you. That's your business. And if you're truly focused and becoming responsible for yourself and your life, then you're not going to have time to be paying much attention to the outer details of other people's lives. That attention on other people and what they're doing in the world and what's happening, quote, quote, out there, is all part of the ego's design to distract you from your divinity. The ego doesn't want you to be in the Tao. The ego wants you to be in the doing, because the ego lives through projecting separation and getting involved and identified with doing, with outer facade. That's its whole trip. So if you want to awaken from that state and as a result have all of it restored to you, you know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things are added unto you. He was another way of saying, you know, stay in the Tao of being and everything comes and sits in your lap. So, this is an important time for us to make that major shift on this planet. That's what's happening right now. That's why we're having everything happen. And the big, big idolatry we've had is the worship of Almighty Dollar. The worship of the great god Mammon has dominated our minds and has dominated our culture, particularly in the industrialized nations, but also in the countries that are so-called third world countries. They've gotten infected by our media, and so now they want the cars and the houses and the this and the that, and pretty soon they'll lose that wonderful joy and freedom that they had when they had their villages and their agricultural-based society, and they'll have the same stress-related disorders that we're suffering from in the West. So let's, those of us who are the rishis and the sages and so forth from the East, those of us who've taken so-called embodiment in the West right now, let's exemplify the life of the sage, the life of the Taoist, in the midst of the world, so that there will be a different kind of message being sent to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Remember, we are the way showers. We're the vanguard. We're the ones that are the spearhead, the very beak of the great bird of ascension that's moving forth, the vision carriers. People will look to us and are looking to us, because as more and more people awaken, that great Merkaba that is the awakening, those ones that have made that quantum shift within themselves, a transformative shift, that are seeing a new world and living from a new reality, we're the insertion of the ascension paradigm. We're the insertion of that. We're the embodiment of that. We're the anchoring of that. We're the transduction coils of that. That's how that ascension frequency is coming in and lifting and causing the whole dimensional shift to occur. It's occurring through those of us that are in that movement of spiritual inner awareness. So this is what we're called to do now. More and more and more we have no more time left to do anything else. We're at such a crucial point right now in the transitioning of this planet that really this has to be our main work. So in cultivating our adeptship, we develop it by doing our ordinary daily duties of life as if they were a divine assignment, because they are a divine assignment that we have orchestrated to exemplify our particular mastery. And we do everything with care, whether it's making your bed or preparing your meals or washing the dishes or taking care of your car and your children, whatever comprises your life. You do it as the Tao. You do it from the Tao of being. You do it because it is what needs to be done. That's your Dharma. And you stay out of the Dharma of other people. It's enough that you do your Dharma, do your duty. And do it with love, and do it with a sense of complete surrender. Not to grasp for the fruit of your actions. Just do your duty and let everything else take its place and fall into its own order. So you train your body to heed only the divine directives issued from your spirit. You train your emotions to stay centered in your loving, in your extending forgiveness. You train your mind to remember your divine perfection and that of others at all times. And you remind yourself throughout the day of who and what you are as a divine immortal being. Whatever it takes to remind yourself. If you have to write it on ink on your palm of your hand or whatever. Some of us that were doing the Course in Miracles years ago, we used to write our the saying that we used to do for the day on our palms or somewhere on our arm so that we could look at it, you know, every so often. So thus your way of life becomes that of a way shower and a light in this world. And remember, that's our only function, is to be the light of the world. There's no other purpose here, and we're the only means by which light can enter the world. So Lao Tzu has this to say: in the pursuit of learning, something is acquired. In the pursuit of Tao, every day something is dropped, and less is done until non-action is achieved. When nothing is done, nothing is left undone. The world is ruled by letting things take their course. It cannot be ruled by interfering. So, again, do what is your Dharma to do, not the Dharma of another. But realize the greatest doing is being. So, by non-action, when these great Taoist masters speak of non-action, they're not talking about passivity or laziness. They're talking about operating from the state of non-attachment to results, or as it's called in Sanskrit, nishkama karma, desireless action. In other words, you do because it's the right thing to do, but you're not doing it to have any particular personal payback or fruit of your action. So this is how you stay free of karma too, because again, what you believe you do, you will receive and reap the repercussions of that doing. So the only way to do a karma-free action is to realize that only Divine Spirit is operating through you. Divine Spirit is speaking through you, is serving through you, is acting through you, is loving through you, whatever is done. There's so many wonderful prayers in Sanskrit that reinforce this kind of thinking. Probably in those lands it's become as oham as some of our prayers have become to us here in the West, where you don't really realize what you're saying anymore. And that's unfortunate. That's why it's kind of nice to take a different approach. The Hindu can take a little trip into Christianity and have a different viewpoint, and the Christian can take a little mosey into Hinduism and learn something. I was watching last night these people talking about intelligent design and the old debate, were we created with a big bang or or cosmic soup, or intelligent design, or God, and, you know, all of that. And I thought, you know, it's so arrogant to ignore cultures that are like thousands and thousands and thousands of years older, with so many enlightened sages, and just look at philosophers and scientists of the past few hundred years that we know of here in the West. You know, all these answers are present. The reconciliation of the seeming dichotomies between evolution and intelligent design and God has been completely answered 10,000 years ago in the Vedas. And why in the world they make such a big to-do over it, it's really interesting. It's like we try so hard to isolate truth and say, well, truth can only come through this little pocket of belief. Can't come in any other way. Who says so? Truth is all pervasive because Satyam, truth, is God. Therefore, truth is everywhere present. It is the Tao. It is the being. It is spirit. It is who we are. We are Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. We are eternal existence and truth. We are Shivam, eternal goodness and auspiciousness. And we are Sundaram, eternal, all-pervasive beauty. That is who we are. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. What beautiful words. Words that in Sanskrit have so many layers of being, of understanding, ripe in them. So, this is the time when we're letting it all fall away. And the things that have become obsolete, that don't work for us individually and collectively in this world that we have dreamt and co-projected together, is coming to an end. Everything is up. This is the apocalypse. This is the revelation. This is the uncovering. This is the Yom Kippur. This is the day of the uncovering of all that was heretofore hidden. It's coming out everywhere. The hidden things are coming to light. New discoveries, new revelations. And it doesn't have to be destruction. The ego goes, woe is me, all is lost, I'm being destroyed, I'm being punished. That's all the ego's little diatribe. And yeah, it's going to dissolve into limitless love, because it's a scared, puny little thought of separation and vengeance. And it is indeed going to dissolve in the love of the self that you are. It is. Its days are numbered. But it's just a little thought form of fear. It's not real. You're not an ego. You're not your personality. You're not your body. You're not your mind. You're not your emotional patterns. You're not your unconscious. You're not your dream. You're not your imagination. You're not your fantasy. You are the spirit, the living word of God, extended from the heart of the all that is. You are a ray of divine light cast upon the shadows of that which never was, to shine them away. That's all. So we are the parters of illusion, the ones who separate the veils out so that we can reveal the face of the One Beloved. That's all. No biggie. So, in the overcoming of these ingrained tendencies of identifying with the phenomenal, with the gerbil cage, with the phantasmagoria of seemingly outer life, don't sweat the small stuff or try to solve future problems. Don't hassle and nag yourself over things of such temporal and minor nature that, you know, you're not even going to remember them a year from now, much less probably not in the next 2 months. Let things pass through you. Don't snag into them. Don't allow them to catch in and snag into you. Let them pass through you. Let everything pass through you and love it and forgive it and look beyond it to the face of the One. And let yourself be returned to wholeness with every thought, keep reminding yourself, this is not real. I remain as God created me, in perfect holiness, and perfect peace, and perfect innocence. And don't make an issue out of things that are not issues. There's no issue unless you manifest one. And it's an issue if you make it an issue. So declare an end to issues. Don't have any more issues. Just be in the Tao of being. Just be in the presence. Just stay in the peace of God. So you decide. You call it, and it will become that to you. And you can always handle whatever is present in the moment. So stay in the moment. Then it's easy. You just have to stay present with your process and do what Spirit gives you the energy and the impetus from within to do. And if Spirit doesn't move within you to do it, don't do anything. There's sometimes I can't respond at all to certain things. There's nothing in me that has any push or impetus to do. And I've learned to recognize that when I'm in that state, Spirit is simply not backing any action or any speech at that moment. And I just stay quiet. I stay present. I'm learning. I'm working on it. I'm practicing it. And I encourage all of my brothers and sisters out there to do the same. Let's keep practicing until it absolutely becomes our second nature. We focus on the truth of our divine nature and allow everything else to dissolve and fade away. So pretend you are self-realized, inactive, just like a role in a play if necessary. The rest of you will catch on and get on with the program in enough due time. You know, actors who have played Jesus Christ in the films report that their lives are never the same afterwards. Changes their whole career and their sense of self. I know Carlton Heston said that playing Moses in the Ten Commandments permanently changed his life and how he viewed his life and lived his life from then on. So we need to become method actors until we fully become of the character of Christ. And the secret of overcoming any compulsive behavior or ingrained habit or addictive pattern or obsession is to quit feeding it. Quit feeding it the focus of your intention. Cease confessing it, verbalizing it, hanging out with people still involved in it. Redirect your mind and allow the compulsion to shrink and atrophy and disappear, which surely it will if you don't feed it. If you don't give it any kind of mental or emotional reinforcement, it will disappear from your life. You no longer participate in that particular energy field. That's it. End of problem. And you just make that choice every time that compulsion presents. So things that are not part of our true nature have a way of just exiting our life when we allow them to do that, when we see them for what they are and are willing to just let them go. So likewise, we keep putting energy of reinforcement mentally and verbally and in every way we can on our divinity and on the divinity of others. And remember that your brother and sister out there in the world is your guide, either to greater entrapment or freedom. You decide whether they're going to be your savior or your captor. If you see ego in them, if you see negativity, if you project vengeance and judgment on them, then they will be the captor, and you will be the slave of that. But if you see the Christ, if you see the Savior, if you see the Tao of being, if you see the face of the One in your brother and sister, that becomes your guide to liberation. So our seeing is very, very important. Pay attention to what you're looking at, because it will be to you the Christ or the illusion. You decide. You choose. So we'll go out tonight chanting, you. Deep breath. You. You. God evening, Adonai.